His Divine Grace, Shalesi, Bhakti Vedanta Swamiraj, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, ISKCON Sandarchari, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Sri Mahahotsava, Srila Baladev's Appearance Day Ki Jai, Sri Haladara Ki Jai, Sri Baladev Ki Jai, Gaur Premanande, all glorious to the sound of devotees, all glorious to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. Om Vishnu Vraya Krishna Prasthaya Buddhaya Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swamita Namane Namaste Sarasutun Deve Gauravani Vijarane Nirvishesha Srinivadi Paskatya De Siddharana Om Agyanitvanandasya Gyananjana Salakaya Chaksur Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadam Ayam Dadati Swapadantikam Bandeham Shigaro Shiyuta Parakamalam Shigaro Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Ravanatam Ditam Tam Sajivam Sarvaitam Savadutam Prajana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shivasakansvitamscha Hey Krishna Karna Sindo Dina Bando Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Brindavaneshri Prishubhana Suta Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakapa Trubhyascha Kripa Sunubhyevacha Padidanam Bhavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Om Maha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Pranitananda Shedvaiti Gadar Harshi Vasati Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Today is the auspicious appearance day of Lord Balaram. I'm sure most all the devotees here, they know him. We see him every day. But it's good to say a few words on his birthday. Because we'll read one story in here about when he takes too much honey. So I noticed some of the devotees are offering him honey, but I don't know if they know what the consequences are. So we hope Lord Baladev is a little moderate in his drinking honey today. Because one time he did it, he almost destroyed the whole universe. And he said Krishna wouldn't even be angry if he did it. But Baladev, Lord Balaram, he seemed quite happy today, so I don't think we have to be too disturbed. So Lord Balaram, he's the first expansion of Lord Krishna. And as the first expansion of Lord Krishna, he has all the 64 opulences that Krishna has. Although sometimes we say that Krishna is the only one who has all 64 opulences, especially the last four, namely wonderful childhood pastimes, surrounded by loving devotees, immersed in love of, wonderful love of God, playing on his flute, and all attractive beauty. Lord Balaram also has all these four attributes, just like Lord Krishna has. The only difference is that Krishna is black and Balaram is white. There may be some other differences too, but that's the most noticeable one. Krishna doesn't usually drink as much, at least in the Krishna book, he doesn't drink as much honey as Balaram. And he doesn't usually take his plow to throw cities into the river. But other than that, that's the main difference. Just to review a little bit about the three aspects of Lord Krishna. That Krishna has three different forms known as Swayam Rupa, Swayam Prakash, or Tadaikatma Rupa, and Avesha. So Krishna's appearance as a cowherd boy in Vrindavan is known as Swayam Rupa. And then Krishna, when he expands himself, he's known as Tadaikatma Rupa. And that Tadaikatma Rupa has two different aspects known as Vilas forms and Prakash. And they're divided into Vaibhav and Prabhav. So if you don't understand all these things, that's okay. But they're there. And there's a purport in Madhya Lila 20, 175, which Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakura has summarized the different expansions of Krishna. So if you want to get a consistent explanation of this, it's in that particular purport. Other than that, sometimes there's some contradictions in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, especially about what is Prabhav and Prakash and Vilas and Tadikatma Rupa. But Baladev, he appears in this Tadikatma Rupa, the first expansions of Krishna, and specifically he's a Vilas form of Krishna. Especially as a cowherd boy in Vrindavan, he's known as Vilas form. Yes, is that here? And he also appears in the quadruple expansion as the, well, that's the Vilas form and also the Prabhav forms. Prabhav and Vaibhav. So here there's a description in the Krishna book about Lord Balaram. So one devotee described the personal beauty of Baladev as follows. Let me take shelter of the lotus feet of Balaram, whose beauty is enhanced by the earrings touching his cheeks. His face is decorated with tilak made from the kasturi musk, and his broad chest is decorated with a garland of gunja, small conch shells. His complexion is as white as an autumn cloud. He wears garments of blue color, and his voice is very grave. His arms are very long, touching his thighs, and he has shown his great strength by killing the Pralamba demon. Let me take shelter of this chivalrous Balaram. So Balaram's affection for Krishna is illustrated in the statement to Subal. My dear friend, please inform Krishna not to go to the Kali Lake today. Today is his birthday, and I wish to go along with Mother Jasoda to bathe him. Tell him he should not leave the house today. So this shows how Balaram's elder brother Krishna took care of Krishna within parental love, with parental love within the scope of paternal affection. Baladev especially is within Krishna's pastimes. He was, as we know, transferred from the womb of Devaki to the womb of Rohini by Yogamaya. So he appeared just before Krishna appeared. Apparently they thought that Devaki had miscarriage and that Rohini was the actual mother of Balaram. So Baladev, he grew up with Krishna, because both of them, Krishna is transferred to the Gokul. Actually, Krishna had actually taken birth as the son of Mother Jasoda, according to our acharyas. But there was some pastime where apparently Vasudev had taken the Vasudev Krishna over to Gokul. But actually that Vasudev Krishna merged into the Krishna who was already there when they arrived. And simply he took the Yogamaya, the daughter of Mother Jasoda, Yogamaya, and transferred her back to Mathura. So Balaram and Krishna, they're actually brothers. And they grew up like brothers. They would always be playing the same sports, the same mischief. They're more or less co-conspirators in practically everything that happened in Gokul. They used to steal butter and yogurt together and run away from the different residents, Vrindavan. So they're quite close brothers. And of course we know that even when they grew up, then eventually they went to Mathura together, they went to Dwarka together, they're inseparable. And in the pastimes, there are many pastimes, so I'll just tell a few of the pastimes. Of course, later on the devotees can tell more of them. One pastime was that Krishna, he had married 16,108 wives. And with each one of the wives, he had 10 sons plus one daughter. And they also had 10 sons and one daughter. All the sons. In total, the family members of Krishna came out to be a billion. Good sized family. And it seems that Krishna had made some enmity with Rukmi. Rukmi was the brother of Rukmini. As you probably know, that during Rukmini's Swayamvara, it wasn't exactly the Swayamvara, it was that Rukmi had promised Rukmini to Shishupal, had an enmity towards Krishna. Although the father Rukmini, he actually wanted to marry Rukmini to Krishna, but because of her brother's interference, it wasn't allowed. And then we know that Krishna kidnapped Rukmini, and Rukmi had chased after Krishna and lost. Krishna defeated him, cut off his beard and his hair, disfigured him, and he developed a permanent enmity towards Krishna. And he vowed, before he went to chase after Krishna, that he wouldn't return unless he had defeated Krishna. But he didn't defeat Krishna, so he didn't go back to the city. Instead, he established his own city at Bhojakata. But he had great affection for his daughter, Rukmini, and therefore, when it was time for the Swayamvara of his first daughter, her name was Rukmivati. Rukmi's first daughter was named Rukmivati. She had a Swayamvara, and Pradyumna was at the Swayamvara. So Pradyumna, who was the first son of Krishna from Rukmini, he's so beautiful because he's Cupid personified. He is Cupid. And he's born from Krishna and Rukmini. So Rukmivati garland Pradyumna, and then there was a big fight amongst the princes, and Pradyumna came out victorious. And ultimately, out of affection for his sister, Rukmi offered his daughter Rukmivati to Pradyumna. So Pradyumna and Rukmivati, Pradyumna with his other wife had a son named Aniruddha. So when it came time for Aniruddha's marriage, then Rukmi offered his granddaughter, whose name was Rochana, to Aniruddha. Although generally in Vedic culture, first cousins are not usually married, but out of affection for his sister, he was, gave her away in marriage. So the whole party went to a place. Krishna came along with his wife Rukmini and Jambavati, Samba, Pradumya, Aniruddha. So many of the Yadu dynasty came to the wedding, and they all journeyed to a place, Bodhikata, where Rukmi had settled, or Rukmi, yeah. And there, the king of Kalinga gave the ill advice to Rukmi to challenge Balaram to chess. That's what it says in chess. In the Srimad Bhagavatam it says dice. Dice is actually the more common game than chess. In any case, he challenged him to a betting contest, because they knew that Balaram is quite strong, but he's not very good at games. Maybe he's improved since then, but at least at that time he wasn't very good. And so they started betting with gold coins. So at first there was 100 coins bet, and Balaram lost. And the king of Kalinga and all the princes there, many of the princes, they start to make fun of Balaram. They start to make king of Kalinga especially start to show his teeth to Balaram. So Balaram sometimes, he's not so patient in certain circumstances. Especially, you know, when things aren't going right, he turns a little red. So he gets some prior warning. So he was turning red a little bit. And then they bet 1,000 gold coins. And somehow or another, Balaram, he also lost again. And they all start to jest and laugh at Balaram. So he's getting redder. And then they bet 10,000 gold coins. And Balaram lost again. So by this time, Balaram was quite red. He had lost his whitish color. And they were all making fun of Balaram. So this time they made another bet of 100,000 gold coins. And this time Balaram won. But the king of Kalinga and Rukmi, they declared that actually they were the winners, although they were cheating. So Balaram bet once more time 10 million gold coins. And this time he won again. But the king of Kalinga and Rukmi again protested that actually, that Rukmi was actually the winner. But then there was an oracle from the sky which declared for all honest purposes that Balaram was actually the winner. But the Rukmi ignored the oracle and he stood up and he declared, how is it possible that Balaram can be a winner in this game? That he's simply a cowherd boy. That he may be very expert at herding cows, but how can he be expected to actually have any talent at shooting arrows or betting? Because he's just a cowherd boy with his Krishna. So Rukmi began to insult Krishna and Balaram. So Baladev, he became so angry, he picked up his club and smashed Rukmi over the head. And then Rukmi fell down dead. And then the king of Kalinga thought it was time to leave. He realized he had a different appointment. Unfortunately for him, Baladev grabbed him and took his club and smashed all the teeth that were grinning at him. So they all fell out on the ground. And then the other princes thought it was also time to leave. But unfortunately for them, or maybe fortunately, depending on how you look at it, Baladev grabbed them and smashed their heads and their hands and their arms and broke them. And they, although it was a very bloody scene, that none of them protested. And then Krishna, he didn't say anything. Because if he protested that why did Baladev kill his brother-in-law, then Baladev would have felt bad. And if he would have supported Balaram, then Rukmini would have felt bad. So he just didn't say anything, and the party went back to Dwarka. Anyhow, if you're going to bet, make sure you don't bet with Balaram. Baladev has many such pastimes. There's one pastime that we know, and who's younger with his brother Krishna. All the cowherd boys one day, they came to Krishna and Balaram and told them that there is, in the forest of Talavan, there's very nice ripe fruits that they could actually smell the aroma of the fruits from where they were. They were kapita fruits, actually. You may read in the story of Dhruva Maharaj, there's one place where it says kapita fruits that only the monkeys eat them. But actually, I guess there may be varieties of kapita fruits, because these were actually considered quite nice. So the cowherd boys, although it says in the Krishna book that they wanted to eat the fruits, but actually they wanted Krishna and Balaram to eat the fruits. So on the pretext that they wanted them, it's transcendental dealings in the spiritual world, they pretended that they wanted them, but actually they wanted them for Krishna and Balaram. So they suggested that Krishna and Balaram go into the forest and get the fruits. But in the forest there's one demon, his name was Denukasura. So Denukasura, he had the strength of 10,000 lions. I don't know how that equates to 10,000 elephants, but if you have the strength of 10,000 lions, you're quite strong too. So no one wanted to go into that forest, and anyone who went to the forest, they'd devour. I guess that's why they compare them to lions, because elephants don't eat people usually, but lions do. So Denukasura and his cohorts, anyone that went into the forest, they devour. So no one wanted to go into the forest. So Baladev and Krishna, they went into the forest, and Balaram immediately began to shake the trees. And from the trees came when he shook the trees, it made a big noise. And it awoke Denukasura. I don't remember the whole pastime. This is a very elaborate pastime, actually. How Denukasura awoken from his... He couldn't believe that actually anyone could dare come into the forest and disturb him. So he immediately charged at Krishna. And Krishna, he picked him up and threw him 8 miles. And he landed near Govardhan Hill and he hit his head and he was unconscious for some time. Then he woke up and rushed back. But this time he thought it wasn't a good idea to attack Krishna. Better to attack Balaram. So he attacked Balaram, and Balaram picked him up and threw him 8 miles. And he wound up unconscious. And then he woke up again. And he rushed back, and this time the cowherd boys jumped on him. So there's a description of which cowherd boy hit him with what. So according to the Garga Samhita, Denukasura, this hurt his head badly. He got up and was attacked by the cowherd boys in a terrible four-horned form. So I guess after being defeated by Krishna and by Balaram, he decided to attack the cowherd boys. So Sridhan hit him with a stick, Subal punched him, Krishna whipped him with a rope, Arjuna and Amsu threw him, Vishal and Rishabh kicked him, Tejasvi tried to strangle him, Devaprastha slapped him, and Varutapa hit him with a ball. So again he was unconscious. He was really bewildered by that time. So then he woke up and he attacked Krishna again, and Krishna threw him into Govardhan Hill this time again. And he was unconscious for an hour. And he's quite a determined demon. So this time he rushed back to Krishna after he woke up and swallowed Krishna. And then Krishna turned into a ball of fire. And it was burning him from the inside, so then he had to throw him out. So then the demon resumed his normal form and grabbed Krishna with his horns and flew into the sky 800,000 miles. Interesting pastime. So then Krishna threw him to the ground and kicked him, knocked him unconscious. But then he got up again. Then Denukasura uprooted Govardhan Hill and threw it at Krishna. Just remember Govardhan Hill, at that time it was much bigger than it is now. It was so big that when the sun god was going around the universe, sometimes the horses that lead his chariot would stop at Govardhan Hill and eat the grass on top of Govardhan Hill. So it was quite a bit bigger than it is now. But Govardhan Hill was thrown at Krishna, and then Krishna caught it and threw it back. Hit by the mountain, the demon had vomited blood and fell unconscious. I mean, normally if you hit by a hill that you probably would, you know, vomit something and fall unconscious. So then Dhenuka picked up the hill and threw it back again, and so did Krishna. But this time he got tired of throwing the hill, and then he attacked Balaram. So Balaram caught him by his front hooves, whirled him with one hand, and threw him into the top of one of the tala trees. And then there was a domino effect that one tree knocked into the other, fell down. And all the other asses ran at Krishna and Balaram. So as we know from the Krishna book story, from the Srimad Bhagavatam, that both Krishna and Balaram, they had a lot of fun picking up the demons and whirling them around and throwing them into the trees. And all the demons were all different colors. Some of them were blue and black and orange and green, white and red. So the whole forest became very panoramic with all the dead demons hanging from the trees. Unfortunately, Krishna, Balaram, and the cowherd boys, they didn't eat any of the fruits because they're all covered with the blood of the demons. So Krishna, Balaram, and the cowherd boys, they just left. And the Palindas and the other aborigines, they came and they ate the fruits. But, although it sounds quite bad for Dhenuka, but leaving his body, Dhenuka manifested a splendid and handsome dark form wearing yellow garments and decorated with a forest flower garland. Then a chariot filled with 100,000 of the Lord's associates, decorated with 1,000 flags, rumbling with 1,000 wheels, pulled by 10,000 horses, glorious with 100,000 charmers, yellow, studded with many jewels, 8 miles long, beautiful, traveling as fast as the mind, and decorated with many bells and tingling ornaments, suddenly appeared. Then the demon circumambulated Krishna Balaram, and then filling the directions with the light, he ascended the chariot and went to Gokula. Goloka. Quite auspicious. Then there are other demons. Baladev, he had some special demons to kill. If we read Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakura's Chaitanya Shikshamrita, we'll find out that Krishna, he killed most of the demons, but Balaram, he also killed some of the demons, special demons. So one of the demons he killed was Pralambasura. And for that he's famous, that he killed, actually he hit him with his fist. Sometimes it's said he killed him with his club. Generally it's understood he smacked him with his fist. Pralambasura was known as the greatest of all the demons. He was an ordinary demon. But he disguised himself as a cowherd boy one day. And there was one cowherd boy who was staying home for some reason or another. And Pralambasura, he disguised himself as that cowherd boy. So Krishna, he's quite good at detecting false cowherd boys. And he recognized that this was not the cowherd boy, the regular cowherd boy, this was actually a demon. But he didn't tell Balaram. But he devised a plan. And generally, Krishna, he has his friends and Balaram has his friends. So they divide into Balaram's friends and Krishna's friends, and they each challenge each other to fight, to wrestle. And Krishna's side came out victorious. And whoever was victorious, the other side would have to carry them on their shoulders. Krishna's side being victorious, Pralambasura, in the guise of the cowherd boy, he had to carry Krishna on his shoulders. I'm sorry, Balaram on his shoulders. Balaram came out victorious. Sorry. Well, sorry about that. Balaram's side came back. They defeated Krishna's side. Hard to believe, but sometimes it happened. So Baladev became victorious. Oh, is that right?
Yeah,
he became victorious. And Palamasura and the guys, the cowherd boy, had to carry Balaram. But he was afraid of Krishna. He knew Krishna's power, Palamasura. Therefore, he wanted to take Balaram far away and try and kill him. And so he went to the other side of the hill where they were playing, and then he manifests himself as Pralambasura, a huge demon with big teeth and flashing eyes. And Balaram was, by Krishna's arrangement, was overwhelmed by Yogamaya. So he didn't know what to do. First of all, it was a coward boy. He wasn't supposed to kill coward boys. He didn't know if Krishna would be pleased that he killed the coward boy. But he realized that this coward boy was an ordinary one. He was a demon. And then everything became clear to him, especially when the demon began to flash his teeth, and it seemed like he was about to kill Balaram. So Balaram took his fist and smashed him in the head. And the demon fell down dead, and all the blood from his head just filled the whole area. And all the coward boys rushed towards Balaram and began to embrace him. And all the demigods, the charanas, the Gandharvas started to dance, the charanas, and they started to shower flowers, and they declared that Baladev had just rid the world of a great demon named Pralambasura. It says, Pralambasura's head split in two, he vomited blood and fell to the ground, just like a mountain attacked by Indra. Pralamba then attained impersonal liberation. Now, of course, there's another nice story. Baladev, after he came back to Vrindavan, he began to dance. He has his own set of gopis. Some of the younger gopis, when Krishna was dancing with the gopis, and some of the small girls who didn't dance with Krishna, when Baladev came back to Vrindavan from Dwarka, then at that time some of those gopis had grown up, and they were actually Baladev's girlfriends, and he was dancing with them. But at that time there was one demon, not exactly demon, his name was Dvivida. Dvivida, he had a brother named Mainda, and for those who read the Ramayana, Dvivida was actually a great general in the army of Lord Ramachandra. He was a general, a personal associate of Lord Ramachandra, and personal associate of Sugriva, a great general in Sugriva's army. But somehow or another, he got into bad association. He became a friend of Bhaumasura, Narakasura. Narakasura was actually the son of Krishna. When Varaha picked up the earth by his touch, the earth became pregnant. And his son, Krishna's son, Bhaumasura was born. But he was a demon. And as we know, Krishna, along with Satyabhama, went to get back the jewels from Aditi that Bhaumasura had stolen, as well as the Chamara fan and other heavenly opulences that Bhaumasura had stolen from Indra. And Krishna killed him, along with his friend the Mora demon, and his whole army, smashed into pieces. Dvivida was not very happy about this because he was very close friends with Narakasura. This is an example, by the way, according to Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, how one can fall from the spiritual world. They were compared to giant Vijay because Mainda and Dainaka and Dvivida are actually ever liberated associates of Lord Ramachandra, but But due to bad association, they fell down and became, at least he fell down and became a demon. Vidira, because he was living in the province of Kapwa, which is in Dwarka, he decided to take revenge on the whole city of Dwarka. He had the strength of 10,000 elephants. So he used to go down to the seaside, and with his hands he'd start making waves. And the waves were so big that he'd make that it washed over cities on the coast. And sometimes he'd go to the sacred places where the sages were performing sacrifices, and he'd urinate and cast stool on them. And then he'd sometimes capture people from Dwarka and put them into a hole in the mountain and then cover the hole with rocks so they couldn't get out. Just like the bringing insect sometimes captures another insect and puts it into a hole and covers it over so it can't get out. And sometimes Vivida used to rape the aristocratic ladies of Dwarka. So you can imagine he got a bad reputation. But one day Balardev was on the ride of the mountain, and he was dancing with his gopis. And Balardev, at that time, he was, I guess, too many people offered him honey, Varuni specifically. And he became intoxicated. And his eyes began to roll in intoxication, and himself and the gopis, they were all singing. And Vivida, he heard the singing, and he became attracted, and he became before the gopis and Balaram. So he saw how beautiful Balaram was, how attractive the gopis were, and he thought these gopis should be enjoyed by me. So he began to make different caricatures, and he began to make different sounds like kikila, kikila, kikila. Generally speaking, he was just up to monkey business. And then he came before the gopis, and he began to show his backside and pass air before them. And then he began to urinate and pass stool before them also. So Baladev had heard about his different activities, and he was a little doubtful what to do. But then Vivida started to rip off the clothes of Balaram and the gopis. So Balaram thought, this is too much. So Balaram, he decided to kill the demon. So he picked up a little rock and threw it at the demon. So the demon artfully dodged it. And then the demon picked up, he took a shala tree, a huge tree, and stripped it of all the leaves and branches, and took the tree and clubbed Balaram over the head with it. So Baladev wasn't even slightly disturbed by the blow. And then Baladev took his club and smashed the demon over the head with it, Sunanda. And then the demon started to bleed fiercely. Blood just flew out of his head, just like red oxide sometimes appears in a mountain. But he wasn't even disturbed either. So then the demon decided to hit Balaram with another tree, took another shalya tree. These are huge trees, 100 meters long, 100 meters tall. Stripped it of all its leaves, and then tried to smash Balaram over the head with it. But Baladev this time, he dodged the tree and took his club and smashed it into pieces, the tree, till it became little sticks. And then the demon took another shalya tree and tried to club Balaram over the head with it. But still, Balaram just cut it to pieces with his club. And this way the whole forest became devoid of trees. Then the demon took rocks, boulders, and threw them on, tried to smash Balaram with the boulders. But Balaram pulverized them into little particles with his club. And this way the whole mountains disappeared. Then finally, Vivida came up to Balaram and started to hit him with his fist. So Balaram put down his club and then hit Vivida on the collarbone. And Vivida started to shake and tremble, vomited blood. His whole body crashed on the ground and he died. And of course, again, the demigod showered flowers on Lord Balaram, and the world was rid of one more demon. I wonder if it says what happened to Dvivida. I'm sure Dvivida was reinstated again in his original position. Then, of course, there's the other famous story, which I think will be the last story I'll tell, about Baladev. He wasn't part of the battle of Kurukshetra, because although they had asked Krishna to, more or less, not to participate, but at least to give his army, and he acted as a charioteer of Arjuna, but he wasn't really part of the battle. They didn't ask him to participate in the battlefield of Kurukshetra. So Baladev was a little disheartened, and he set out on a pilgrimage. So during that, when he finally came back on pilgrimage, then the battle had already ended, and Duryodhana was fighting with Bhima in a club battle. And when he appeared, the Pandavas were a little concerned that maybe Balaram would say something on the side of Duryodhana. But Baladev didn't really, so they didn't say anything to Baladev. They didn't even greet him. But Baladev realized that the whole thing was finished. So he decided to leave. So again, we can see that he went on pilgrimage, and finally he came to the pilgrimage place at Kurukshetra. I guess that was Kurukshetra, actually. What's that? No, it was Kurukshetra. Then they were having I guess he went on pilgrimage for a year, and then finally when he returned, must have been after the battle. At that time, the sages were having a meeting at Kurukshetra. And during that meeting, there was Ramaharsan was sitting on the Vyasasan and discoursing on the Vedas, surrounded by all the sages. So Baladev had entered there, and everyone stood up, except for Ramaharshan. So Baladev, he remembered that his mission was to kill the world of demons. So certainly, if one sits on a Vyasasan giving a lecture, generally speaking, according to the etiquette, one does not necessarily has to get up and show respect to anyone. But because Balaram is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, therefore, one who's learned should recognize him and show some respect. Ramaharshan, he didn't show respect either by getting up or offering obeisances or even by clasping his hands together. So therefore, Balaram, he realized that this person is quite impudent. And so he decided to kill him. So he took one blade of kusha grass, walked up to him and touched him with the kusha grass. And he died. Then all the sages, they were aghast that Baladev has now killed someone that we promised him a long life with all bodily senses, that he lived at least as long as he had gave us this discourse. So Baladev told Balaram that they protested that you killed a man who was given these blessings too. So Balaram said, it's alright, no problem. If you like, I can restore Ramaharshan and give him full sensual facilities for as long as the sacrifice goes on, and I can give him any other benediction you want. But the Brahmins there said, no, it's all right. We don't really need to give any benedictions. That you should keep him dead, but at the same time you should fulfill our promise. So Baladev, he said, yes, I can do that. That instead of having Ramaharshan give you the discourse, you can have Ramaharshan Sutta Goswami. He can give you this discourse. In this way, the son, which is considered to be an expansion of the father, that he would be still there in the form of his son, giving the discourse, and at the same time, his father would be dead. But then they said, Balaram asked, would you like me to give you any other benediction? So they said, yes, there's one demon who comes every new moon that day when there's no moon, and he disturbs our sacrifice, so if you can kindly do something about him. And as we know, that Balaram, when this demon Balava appeared, took his club and dragged him down from the sky and smashed him with his plow, actually, and killed him. And after that, then he gave up his fighting spirit and retired from the fighting business. And all the Brahmins were quite happy about that. Any other pastimes someone would like to tell or hear? What other pastimes? Yes?
Can you please tell the pastime when Lord Balaram drags the Yamuna?
Briefly. It seems that Stamba was a naughty boy. He was the son of Jambavati. Jambavati, we know, is the daughter of Jambavan. And when Krishna had gotten the Kshamantaka jewel from Jambavan, after a fight of 28 days in the cave, then Jambavati, realizing that Krishna is actually his worshipful Lord Ramachandra, he offered not only the Kshamantaka jewel to Krishna, but also his daughter Jambavati. So Jambavati had one son whose name was Samba. So Sa means with, and Amba means the mother. So he's always with his mother. Also. And he became attracted to the daughter of Duryodhana, whose name was Lakshmivan. And during her Swayamvara, then Samba came and kidnapped Lakshmivan and took her away. But this was in Hastinapur, where Duryodhana, Bhishma, Karna, Arjuna, and other great Maharathis, they got together, and they decided that this is a great insult to their family. And how Samba could have the nerve to come and kidnap their daughter and take her away like that. So five Maharathis got together, Burishrava, Arjuna, Karna, Duryodhana, Bhishma, and they all simultaneously attacked Samba. And it was commanded by Duryodhana. And unfairly, although Samba stopped and fought with all of them, killing their horses, killing their charioteers, shooting arrows into all of them, still, somehow or another, because it was five Maharathis against one, they destroyed his chariot, killed his horses, killed his charioteer, and made Samba get on the ground and captured him, along with Lakshmi. Of course, because Samba had touched this girl, therefore he could not be married to anyone else. But still they had imprisoned him. Then Narada Muni, he went to Dwarka and informed the residents of Dwarka that Duryodhana, along with four other Maharathis, had unfairly and unjustly captured Samba and fought with him and had captured him. So then Krishna and all the Yadu dynasty, great warriors, Pradumyani, Ruda, they all got together, Charudeshna, they all formed a huge army to march on Hastinapur. But Dal Balaram said, wait, just hold on for a second, that this is the age of quarrel and everyone's fighting with each other. Better I go there first with Uduk, and we try and make some peace arrangement. So he said, alright, you can go with Uduk and try and see what you can do. So Baladev came with Uduk and Uddhava, and they camped outside of Hastinapur. And Uddhava went in the forum, the elderly members of the Kuru dynasty, that Baladev was come for a visit to talk with them. And they were all, especially Duryodhana, who had personally learned how to fight with a club from Balaram, was very affectionate to Balaram. And all the elders came out with Arguyu. I think it's called, what do they call it? Arguya? What's that called? Argya. Presented to Lord Baladev along with all kinds of gifts. And then Baladev began to speak very vituperatively, very strong voice, challenging voice, saying that, my dear friends, that, you know, I think it would be better if you give back Samba to, along with his daughter, and bring them back to the Yadu dynasty. So after hearing Baladev speak like that, that they should immediately surrender Samba, they all said, alas, that this is surely the age of Kali. How is it that Baladev is speaking in such a strong, challenging way to the members of the Kuru dynasty? That the Kuru dynasty, only due to their mercy, they're the members of the Yadu dynasty, they're able to have the royal paraphernalia, like the charmara, the whisk, and the throne. Other than that, according to their curse, they were not even supposed to have the installed as king. That they have their nerves. This is just like they said, like the shoes from the feet trying to come and sit on the hips. So they start to compare Krishna and the Yadu dynasty to the shoes and then to the head. So when Baladev heard this, he became very angry. And he said, alas, this is surely the age of Kali. That Krishna is worshipped by Lord Brahma and all the demigods, Lord Shiva, that he's just an insignificant prince. And that King Ugrasena, who has thousands of Akshahinis of soldiers, divisions of soldiers, that he's just an insignificant king. He doesn't even deserve the royal paraphernalia. He doesn't even think that Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, deserves royal paraphernalia. So he said, actually, it's time to teach them a lesson. Otherwise, if you let these rogues get out of hand, then who knows what's going to happen? So then Baladev decided to separate the city of Hastinapur from the earth and throw it into the Ganges. So with his plow, he began to uproot the city of Hastinapur and then start to drag it to the river Ganges. And everyone in the whole city was shaking. And they realized that they were about to be thrown into the Ganges. Duryodhana and Bhishma and all the elderly members, they all came forward and bowed down before Baladev and brought forward Samba and Lakshmana and said, my dear Baladev, actually we just want to see your superhuman strength that we surrender to you. Please protect us and don't throw us into the Ganges. So then Baladev became very compassionate and they took the Samba along with Lakshmana with a huge dowry given by Duryodhana and they went back to Dwarka. He looks so peaceful on the altar, doesn't he? Anything else? Yeah.
Balaram was also the 64 qualities.
Yeah.
I never know he was also playing on the flute.
Never heard him play on the flute?
No.
Yeah, sure. He used to walk with Krishna and Balaram. Even the gopis say that. This is the most attractive thing in the vision. Is to see Krishna and Balaram entering to the Vrindavan forest playing on their flutes. And he has his flute too. Of course, many of the cowherd boys, they also have flutes. All the cowherd boys, they play on flutes. But it says in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that there's absolutely no difference between Krishna and Balaram except for their color. So I'm sure that refers to the qualities. And he has his own set of gopis, he has his own pastimes, he has his track of beauty. And he also has a flute. But Krishna's flute is the major flute in Vrindavan. Generally, everyone listens when Krishna plays on his flute. Yes? Well, I can't remember that. Who does Palama, does anyone remember who Palama Sura represents? What's that?
They represent the false ego.
The false ego.
It's always beautiful.
Oh, okay. Why did Baladev have to kill him?
The spiritual master.
I don't know. Maybe being Kasuda, he must somehow or other in another life
related to Krishna.
He's probably related to Prahlad Maharaj. And that Krishna had given a benediction to Prahlad Maharaj, they wouldn't kill any of his descendants. So that's why Baladev had to kill him. I think there were people playing on a mountain and they got cursed by one Rishi. There were demigods who were playing on a mountain, some of these demons, and they insulted one of the sages, and then the sage cursed him to become an ass because of his behavior. But he was related to Balai Maharaj. He was one of his sons, and therefore Krishna didn't want to kill him because he had given that promise to Prahlad Maharaj. But I can't remember all this, but if you're interested, we can look it up. Yes?
It's always mysterious to me that Balaam never gives up his affection for Duryodhana. He was always affectionate for Duryodhana.
Yeah, it's quite mysterious. You have to ask him. I don't know. I mean, Balaram is the original super. He's the source of the super soul. So maybe in that way he's equal. He can be affectionate. Because Duryodhana couldn't have been an ordinary person to be participating in Krishna's pastimes also. But I don't know why he was so affectionate though. Yes?
So some instance of Balaram represents spiritual master, can say something about
him? He's the original spiritual master. Maybe we can something about that here. Because Baladev is the super soul. He's the source of everything. He's the source of all the expansions, including the source of the super soul. So he's the super soul in everyone's heart, by which the disciplic succession more or less goes on. It says in the Upanishads, it is stated, Nayam Atma Bala Hinena Labhya. The purport is that one cannot obtain the supreme platform of self-realization without being sufficiently favored by Balaram. Bala does not mean physical strength. No one can obtain spiritual perfection by physical strength. One must have the spiritual strength that is infused by Balaram, or Sankarshan, Ananda, or Shesha, is the power that sustains all the planets in their different positions. Materially, the sustaining power is known as the law of gravitation, but actually is displayed the potency of Sankarshan. Balaram or Sankarshan is spiritual power or the original spiritual master. Therefore, Lord Nityananda Prabhu, who is also an incarnation of Balaram, is the original spiritual master, and the spiritual master is a representative of Balaram, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who supplies spiritual strength. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it is confirmed that the spiritual master is the manifestation of the mercy of Krishna. Sometimes it also says that the spiritual master is a representative of Srimati Radharani, or the confidential servant of Lord Balaram, Nityananda. But that probably depends upon what particular rasa they're instructing their disciples. I mean, when you get up to the stage of rasa, then it's a question like Baladev. He's generally in the parental and the servitude rasa, while Srimati Radharani, of course, is Madhurya rasa. In any case, he's the spiritual power by which descends through the disciplic succession, by which one becomes enlightened through the Krishna Shakti, or Bhakti Shakti, or the spiritual strength. Yeah. Of course, Sankarshan is eternal. So, but this is Garga Muni's statement. Why he would be called Sankarshan, at least at that time, that he was forced to attract Krishna. But all these pastimes are eternal. This is, of course, was Krishna's arrangement to have Yogamaya bring Baladev to the womb of Rohini from Devaki. More than that, I don't really know. Anything else? Okay. Lord Balaram ki jai, Mahotsava Shri Baladev ki jai, Shri Haladara ki jai, Gaur Premanande.